blessed to be here. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise for all that you have done for us today. Even though my birthday is being celebrated, Lord, we are all custodian or all recipient of the life that comes from you. Father, we are all saying thank you for life, for grace, for health, for food, for water. All that you do for us, Lord, both known and unknown, we have come to return the glory to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this church where you are ministering to us, where we get to serve you, where we get to honor you. Thank you for your word that is guiding us, leading us, showing us the way. Take all the glory today, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please put your hands together for Jesus. You can be seated. We're just going to share a little word because time has gone. Amen. I guess the first thing I would like to say I'm very, very, very grateful. Very, very grateful. I found a lot of love in this church. When I got here this morning, I was with my son. We didn't know all these decorations and all these beautiful things. I was just coming for a normal church service as I always do. When we opened the door, we were met by that first blow that you saw there. I just stood there with him. We were baffled. Then we opened the garage doors. We're now hit with this tsunami also. I just didn't know what to say. All I can say is thank you, Jesus. Because I really believe that only Jesus could do things like this through people. And I also feel that it is such a privilege. You guys sent me very moving messages on my birthday. Some of the things that you guys said in those messages, I was asking myself, is it me that these people are talking about? Did you understand? Like, sometimes people know things about you that you haven't noticed yourself. Do you understand? So, those messages have really hit me. If you've noticed, I took about 2 days to thank you guys. Because I was so touched. I'm still very touched. And I'm planning to be documenting these messages because one thing you should know about pastors is that pastors are usually lonely. A lot of pastors don't have friends, people to talk to, because they are usually the one, they are the friend of everybody. But they themselves don't have a friend. They don't have somebody that talks to them, that checks up on them and stuff like that. Then a lot of pastors also sometimes get discouraged, because maybe things are not going the way you thought they will go. Do you understand? People promised something they didn't do, or people said they were coming, they didn't show up, and they didn't say why, all those things. Or people just being malicious and mischievous and saying a lot of bad things to the pastor or about the pastor. So usually it's a very lonely, and sometimes, for lack of a better word, sometimes depressing journey. God has just helped us here at Kalanyone that we enjoy the journey. It's beautiful. You can never find me depressed. But I just think it's a grace God gave me. But a lot of pastors are depressed. A lot of pastors are sad because the congregation sometimes doesn't know how to respond to them. They think that these people are supermen. They don't break. Oh, they don't need anything to say thank you. They are just fine. I tell you, I thank God for the gifts. I thank God for... God, don't you just love this type of things? Me? Hey. My God. I'm telling you, I was baffled by this. And guess what? I didn't know about it. I just got here and I found it. And people took time, printed pictures of me preaching, and laminated them. I have a feeling that there's a cake that is supposed to be on this table. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I'm feeling that there's a cake that should be on that table there. So there's more coming. Praise the Lord. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for everything that you do. You are always saying that I do, but hey, guys, the things you guys do, I think if other pastors see me, they'll be very jealous. They might not be happy for me because it's really a blessing. And maybe you are also here, you are jealous. You're saying that, why is pastor getting all these things? What has he done? Only my people know what I'm doing with them. If you come, you'll be asking, what's going on here? But we know each other. We know our things. When we are crying in the corner, you are not there. So they know. We all know. Amen? And I just want to say, guys, I don't have much to give you this morning. But I'm going to give you what God asked Aaron to give the people of God. So I'm going to give it to you. The Lord bless you. Amen. The Lord keep you. Amen. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Amen. The Lord lift his countenance towards you. Amen. The Lord give you peace all the days of your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. So... thank you so much, ABC Kalanyoni. Thank you for the love. Thank you for everything. Everything. I mean, Kalanyoni started celebrating my birthday, I think, 2 days before the birthday. Under the leadership of my beautiful wife. Isn't she lovely? Hey! God will do the same for you. God will do you good. Amen. We're going to share a little word. We are starting a new series today. And the series is entitled The Word of God. That's the Word of God. That's what I'm going to talk about this month. I'm going to take you on a journey into the Word of God. I know every Sunday we preach using the Word of God. Do you understand? But this month, we're going to talk about the Word of God. And you will realize that it's a topic on its own that is worthy of your attention and my attention. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shepherd bless. Praise the Lord. Now, you know that we are. This part is the second leg of what we started last month. The Dominion Trilogy. Amen. 1 John chapter 5 verse 8. Can we go there quickly? And there are three that bear witness on the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Praise the Lord. I've been showing you that on earth, these are the three witnesses that give dominion to man. The first one is the Spirit. And that is what I was teaching you last month. What do I mean by the Spirit? I mean, you must be anointed. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, can I tell you something, church? You see, the subject of the anointing is not a subject for pastors. No. It's not a subject for bishops. Like, I want you to become very, very familiar with the subject of the anointing. And I want you to be saying things like, I am anointed. I want to be anointed. I'm praying for the anointing. Like, you need to be into such talks a lot. Can I tell you why? Come on, talk to me. Can I tell you why? I want to tell you that the anointing is the most precious commodity that a human being can have on earth. There's nothing that... Look, maybe you are not aware of it. The few things that have happened in your life is because of the little anointing that is currently on your life. Yes. So I believe that if I begin to make you more and more aware of the anointing, and that you need to be anointed, and that you need to have the anointing, you will start desiring it a lot more. And before you realize, you will become anointed. You'll become anointed. And you know, can I tell you something? The day you become anointed, that day, everything about your life is going to change. Acts 10:38. Look at it. Jesus on earth, 30 years, nothing has changed. Nothing is new in his life until God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. From that moment, Jesus started moving. Things started happening in the life of Jesus. So, precious people, you need to desire the anointing. And that is what I've been expanding in the message I taught last month on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just about speaking in tongues. No. What I've been trying to say last month is, you need to be anointed. God must lay his hands on you. His Spirit must enter you. And that is when things start happening for you. Amen. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. So we saw the Spirit. And this month we are talking about the water. Amen. What is the water? The water represents the word of God. Now, please don't attack me. I know that the water also represents the Spirit. I'm aware of that. But I'm more focusing now on the water representing the word of God. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I want to show you something there quickly. Ephesians 5:25. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. 26. Oh yeah, there we go. That he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Do you see that? The washing of the water by what? By the word. So you see that the water can also represent the word of God. Hallelujah. Psalms 29 verse 30. Verse 3, sorry. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Do you see that? So when God is speaking, it's over the waters. And if the water represents the word, it makes perfect sense that God speaks through the word. The waters. And the God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. You will notice that a person that is constantly in scriptures, a lot of waters, a person that is constantly surrounded with water,
Meaning they are constantly in many scriptures which represent waters. God is going to speak. God is going to speak. God speaks through many waters. I could say the Lord is over many scriptures. My dear sister, what leads people to error is that they pick one scripture and they say, this is what God is saying. You see, for you to understand what God is saying, you need many waters, many scriptures. Because sometimes if you take just one scripture, you can fall into error. You need many waters, many waters. The more the waters, the easier it is for you to capture the voice of God. I'm talking by experience, people of God, that as you spend time listening to messages, reading your Bible, reading spiritual books, talking to Christians, having one-on-one with your pastor or to your cell leader, like you are surrounded with a lot of waters, you will hear the voice of God. You will hear the voice of God. If I take my example, for me to resign and get into full-time ministry, you know, God spoke. But what did I do? I went to Bishop Vincent. I spent time with that father of mine, Bishop Vincent Luate. I went to Bishop Clufio. I went with my wife. My wife and his wife, we sat down. I shared the vision. God speaks over many waters. So I read my Bible. I also sent the same vision to my mother because she's praying for me all the time. So I needed many waters so that I don't make a mistake. What is Pastor saying? Just because you had a vision doesn't mean you should run. Just because you read something doesn't mean you should not just jump off. It's another water saying the same thing. Do you have many waters that are saying the same thing? Otherwise, be a bit careful. Because you can easily... Look. The word of God is also a sword. Isn't it? As we're going to learn this man. Do you know that I can take a knife from your house to attack you? So somebody can take your sword and use it against you. That is exactly what Satan did to Jesus. When Jesus took the sword, he used it on Satan. Satan also took the sword and said, it is also written. He can use the same sword on you. And when Satan quoted the Bible, Jesus didn't say, you are quoting the wrong scripture. He was quoting a scripture. But Jesus had many waters. He knew another scripture. So you should be able to have many waters with you. Otherwise, somebody will come and say, the Lord is saying this and this and this. He said, okay, prove it. You can show me one verse. And then I become convinced. No. Show me another verse. Then show me another one. Let there be many waters. Boy, I'm already preaching. Praise the Lord. So I was saying this to just establish the fact that water represents the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 verse 17. Let's look at that quickly. I'm going to be very quick. Don't worry. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Come on, church. Which is the sword of the Spirit, which is
the word of God.
Wow. Can I share what God showed me in this verse? God revealed to me that the Spirit has a sword. And the sword that the Spirit has is called the word of God. The Holy Ghost has a sword. When he takes that sword, it is called the Word of God. Let me break it down quick for you. When you are reading the Bible, you are basically only reading scriptures. It has no effect. It cannot do much. But when you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you see something in the scriptures that you are reading, the Holy Ghost comes, the same verse you were reading just now, He takes the verse, and when He starts working on the verse for you, immediately the verse becomes a sword. It means that verse, at that moment when the Holy Ghost has started using that verse for you, that verse becomes dangerous. It can affect something. You see, the scriptures, oh, I need a real Bible. The scriptures on their own, look, I'm not saying the Bible doesn't have power, but this is not the word of God. This is the Bible. Do you understand? It's a book. It's in English. What that means is that if I don't speak English, I will not be able to understand what is in this book. But that does not mean God cannot talk to me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? This is a book. We call it the Bible. Yes. The reason we call it the word of God is because through it, through many waters, you can hear God. That's the only reason. But you will be surprised. You can go to a shrine of a Sangoma, you'll find this. Oh yeah. You'll find it. And you can become confused. Ah, I thought that this is the word of God. I thought that this thing is powerful. It's very powerful, but it's only powerful when the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit takes what is here. Some people take the Bible, they put under their pillow, maybe they're having bad dreams. They take the Bible, they put under the pillow, and their dreams become badder. Because this is just a book until the Holy Ghost takes it. When the Holy Ghost takes this book, it becomes a sword. It becomes the word of God. And from that moment, everything that is here starts working. Ah! Everything that is here works only when the Holy Ghost is holding it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Meaning the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Look at the Spirit. It's with capital S. Meaning it's the Holy Spirit. I say it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit with capital S. It means when the Holy Ghost takes one scripture from the book, hey, things are going to be cut. Shoop, shoop, shoop. This explains why a lot of people read the Bible and it becomes a boring book. Because they are reading without the Holy Spirit. If you read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, you will fall asleep. In fact, I know a pastor who tells people, if you want to sleep and you can't sleep, take Isaiah. Start reading Isaiah. He's right. If you take Isaiah, you start reading, you fall asleep just now. The only thing that makes Isaiah to make you to not sleep is that the Holy Spirit come and sit on Isaiah. When the Holy Spirit come and sit on Isaiah, you will be awake the whole night. You'll be awake the whole night. You can't sleep. Because the word is the sword of the Spirit. If you will remember the 10 virgins that had lamps. You see, the Bible says they were virgins. They had lamps. What is a lamp? What is a lamp? The word of God. Your word is a light unto my path and a lamp. So the virgins had lamps. Meaning they had the word. But what was needed is the oil. The oil. Do you understand? So it is the oil that makes the lamp to work well. If you take a lamp, back in the day we didn't have this. We're using lamps. Now for your lamp to not, if you take your lamp and you put it on fire and you don't have oil, the thing will burn in a second. Like it will just burn right now. And it's finished. But when you put oil, oil will contain the flame. And it will burn slowly. And it will go slowly, slowly. And you'll be able to see. Imagine you have a lamp and you want to see from here till the end of the road. But you don't have oil. You only have a lamp. You light it. Before you take 5 steps, it's off. And you are entering the darkness again. So what makes the lamp to work is the oil. The lamp doesn't work well without oil. The Bible will remain a philosophical book if you don't use the Holy Spirit. And this is why some of you think, no, the Bible is contradicting. So there's no contradiction here at all. It's because you're using the wisdom of UNISA. You go to UNISA, you learn theology, and you are trying to use the theology of UNISA to understand the Bible. Huh? Why is the Holy Ghost the person that can tell you about the Bible? Do you know why? Taviso, can I tell you why? Can I tell you why the Holy Ghost is the only person that knows how to use this thing? He wrote it. Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. The Holy Ghost wrote this book. All scripture is given by inspiration. Go to King James. NIV. Ha. All scripture is God breath. Didn't I teach you when God breathed on Adam, what happened there? Huh? What did God breathe in Adam? Some of you are not attending my teachings very well. You are confused. I'm asking, what did God breathe in the nostril of Adam? The Holy Spirit. Why do we say that? Because of John, I think John 20:22, where the Bible says Jesus breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now you are told all scripture is God breathed. All scripture. The same way God breathed the scriptures is the breath of God. So this is the Holy Ghost. He is the author. Now, I guess you will agree with me that nobody can interpret a book better than the person who wrote the book. If I write a book about marriage, maybe you can take my book and try to tell people this is what the man is saying. But the person that can actually tell you what I was trying to say there in that chapter is the person who wrote the book. Are you with me, people of God? If you want to know what Isaiah is saying, if you want to know what Jeremiah is saying, don't ask Isaiah. Don't ask Jeremiah. The Bible says holy men of God spoke under the inspiration of the Spirit. Find that scripture. Holy men spoke under inspiration. They didn't decide themselves to speak. They were given what to say. And the person who gave them what to say is the best person to tell you what he was trying to say. Find it. 2 Peter 1:21. Wow. Oh, you're going to be blessed this month, I tell you. I say you're going to be blessed this month by the word. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Everything you see in the Bible, men wrote what the Holy Ghost asked them to write. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Maybe give me NLT. Start from verse, put 20 and 21. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Above all else, we must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No! Those prophets were moved. I rest my case. Those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. So if it is the Holy Ghost inspiring you to say what you are saying, don't you think he's the best person to tell you what he's trying to say? That's why this is his sword, because he wrote it. He just used the hand of Peter, the hand of Paul, but he wrote everything here. That's why the Bible, we know that the Bible was written over a span of 1,500 years by people on all continents of the earth. Most of them were unrelated. They didn't even know each other. But with digital precision, they all spoke the same things. Why? Because the author is the same. The writer is different, but the author is the same. Quickly this morning, one word from God can change your life. Amen. One word from God can change your life. The Bible, listen to me, church. The Bible is just a book until it becomes a word from God. When it becomes a word from God, there's a difference. There's a difference between reading that verse and being inspired by the Holy Ghost to read that verse. It's two different words. Tell your neighbor, one word from God can change your whole life. Yeah. See, Tepo, a man called Moses entered Egypt with a stick. He entered the greatest economy on earth. With the greatest army. With what? A stick. By the time he left Egypt, the knees of the Egyptians were on the floor. The economy was paralyzed. With what? A stick. He didn't enter with bazookas and machine guns. A stick. But from the book of Exodus, and God said to Moses, 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 and the Lord said to Moses, and God said to Moses, and God said to Moses, the whole book, and God said to Moses, and God said to Moses, and God said to how does Moses dominate Egypt? The word. What God is telling him. That's one thing God will say to you. One. And you hear it. If you can hear it, you are gone. No, you are gone. You are gone. If you can hear it when he says it, you capture it well. It's over. It's over. One man, the whole economy of Egypt, it's like the United States of America today or Russia. I enter Russia or America with a stick. By the time I'm done, the whole economy of Russia is down. The armies are down. Everything is down with a stick. No. There's something going on. This man is hearing a voice. And as he is capturing that voice and doing what the voice is saying, things are just happening that are shocking him. Take your stick and stretch it to the waters, and the waters will part in two. Have you ever heard something like that before in your life? He takes the stick, stretches to the waters, and he starts seeing a miracle happen. Imagine if Moses has to go and start freezing the water to cut it in the middle, to now push this. I mean, until today, Moses was still going to be trying to freeze that water. This is what happens to us when we try to do something without hearing from God. Is that you will just be struggling and struggling and struggling until God can speak to you. One verse and we close for today. We don't have a lot of time. Matthew 14, verse 28 to 29. Let's start with verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on water. If it is you, command me to come. Only those who have commands can take command. Only those who have received commands can take command. I mean, Peter knew I'm a professional swimmer, I'm a professional fisherman. I can't do this. But if you, God, say I should do it, from the moment you say it, that's it. You just need to say it. If you say it, I will not do it because I know how to do it. I will be doing it from that time. And if you ask me, why are you doing it? I will say, God said it. Command me to come. I don't want to come on my own. But if you ask me to come, then I will now base myself on what you said. And I will take my first step. 29. So he said, come. Hallelujah. Yeah. So Jesus said, okay, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Okay, Peter walked on the water because he went to a water school. He learned how to manipulate water. Peter has some tricks. He has some jets under the legs when it's just shoo, 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 shoo. What is making Peter walk on water? The word of God. God said, come. From the moment God said, come, you become empowered to do what you couldn't do just a second earlier. Like, you couldn't do that thing. Am I talking to you? You couldn't do that thing just now. Peter, you know yourself, you cannot walk on water. You don't have what it takes to walk on water. But how come you are walking on water? God said so. God said so. God said so. God said so. And this is how your life becomes a wonder. Is that you do things because you are commanded to do them, not because they look nice. This guy was going to die that night. He said, "Hey, Jesus, my leader. No, let me come to you. He was going to sink there and was going to be gone right there like that. My leader. Let me tell you something. Just because somebody is your leader, it doesn't mean you can do what he's doing. Peter had a lot of sense. He said, "I know you are my leader, but what you are doing now, I don't understand it. But I want to do it. So tell me to do it." Sister, if God says, you must say to Jesus, "Command me to get married." Oh, yes. In other words, I'm getting married on a revelation I found in the scripture. Not because so-and-so got married, and so-and-so got married. I also feel like I should get married. My time is going. I'm getting old. This and that. You will really see it all. You will see fire in that thing that you have started there like that. He must command it. Then he will make sure you do it. And along the way, you might trip like this guy did. Who saved him when he tripped? Because who asked him to do it? If I ask you to do something, and while you are doing it, something bad happens, isn't it my responsibility to take care of you? Because I'm the one who asked you to do it. And here's our problem. We start doing things he never asked us to do. Then we sing for free. You are busy with things you never heard from God. Though. God has never asked you nothing. I mean, in fact, God, I must ask God. Why? I mean, I'm a person. I can do my own things. Good. Continue. The sinking will be without end. You drink water down there. You drink water. Nobody here will drink water. Because you will learn to ask him, "What are you saying? I'm not doing it because I'm smart. What is the word saying?" Eh? Last scripture. I know I told you it was the last, but I feel like I should give you another one. Matthew 5, verse 5. Oh, yes. Come on, AB, come on. Matthew 5:5. Hey. No. I missed it. Help me find the verse where it says, "We've worked all night and caught nothing." Find it. I think I missed it on my side. We are all pastors. We are all teachers of the word. We work all night. Lisa, you are the pastor. Okay, Luke 5:5. So I missed the book. We are at the end. Neo, we are at the end. Amen? But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught how many?" Nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. Because Jesus has come and said to them, "Cast down your net." Say, "Look, the thing you are asking me to do, I already did it. I didn't get anything. But because you are saying, I should do the same thing I just did now. And I just did it, and I didn't get anything. But when I did it the first time, I did it because I decided to do it. Like, it is my own decision. I'm going to cut the knot. And I got nothing. But now, I hear you say, I should cast the net. So, as I'm doing it this time, I'm not doing it because I know how to cast nets. I'm rather doing it. Why? Why? Because God says so. Do you see the difference between the two? Like, you did it the first time, but you did it because you wanted to do it or you knew how to do it. And unfortunately, you caught nothing. But now, the same thing is the same boat, it's the same net, it's the same river. And it's the same thing you just did earlier. The only difference is that this time, he is the one asking you to do it. I say he is the one now. It is him now saying do it. And you see, you must say, but what is the difference? There's a big, there's a world of difference between those two. You doing it and him asking you to do it. At your word, I will let down the net. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. I mean, they went from empty nets to net breaking. And what is the difference? God said, this month we're talking about the word of God. I said we're talking about the word of God. The word of God. The word of God. What the word of God can do. What the word of God can do if you stop doing things because you know how to do them. If you stop doing things because you like doing them. And if you can start doing things because God asks you to do it. Because God asks you to do it. Do you have things in your life that He asks you to do? I said, everything you saw somebody do, you saw on TV, who is behind the things you are doing? Like, who asks you to do them? That's the question you and I need to answer this morning. That the things I'm busy with, who is behind it? Am I following a command or my own desire? Because you see, I'm telling you, people of God, there's a world of difference between those two things. And this is why Christians are depressed. Because they are not seeing results. They are not seeing results. They are doing what everybody is doing, but they are not seeing results. You see the difference? That's what I told you earlier. You can say nothing broken, nothing missing, and nothing will happen. Because you need, God must tell you. I mean, you need a revelation. Amen? Amen. And that is what we're going to be doing this month. By the grace of God, you will learn to hear from God. You will learn to run with the word of God. My last scripture, Isaiah 55. I know it's been my last. This one is now the last of the last. And it is my birthday, please. Don't even start with me. I can actually start a night vigil right now. I can start a night vigil. but it is the last one. Isaiah 55, verse 10. Amen? Amen. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but the water the earth, and make it to bring forth and to bud, right? That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God is describing what water does. I told you that water is the word. He's telling you that the word, he's talking about the water. That when the water comes down, it never leaves the ground the same way. When rain comes down somewhere, it has an effect on the soil. Do you understand that? Now look at verse 11. So shall my word be. So he started by telling you, look at how the rain works. The rain can never come down and the ground remains the same. So he says, that's exactly how my word is. But look at what he says. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Not the word that is in written. He didn't say, so shall my word be that is written in the book. He says that goes forth from my mouth. Because you see, after you read what is in the book, you will hear something that is not in the book. What is in the book is very important. It's the basic. But there's something bigger that you hear as you read what is in the book. It's, so shall my word be. That goes forth from my mouth. What do we call that? Revelation. In other words, I had the information, but through the information and the help of the Holy Ghost, I got a revelation. A revelation is a word from the mouth of God. Sometimes it is something you've never heard anywhere. Like what I just shared with you, that the word is a sword of the spirit. I've never read it in any book. I was just reading my Bible and God says to me, when a scripture is in the hands of the Holy Ghost, it becomes a sword. So you need the Holy Ghost when you are reading the Bible, because he is the one who helped the scriptures to become powerful. I've never read it anywhere. It's a revelation God gave me. So shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. Do you not understand when things are not accomplished in your life, brother? Do you understand when nothing is accomplished? Accomplishments. We all lack accomplishments. But how many of us are having accomplishments? How many of us? How many of us have accomplishments? You know why we are devoid of accomplishments? Because we are devoid of the word. It is the word that brings accomplishments. It is the word you receive that makes things to happen. Yeah. And if you don't have a word, you will have no accomplishments. You'll be coming to church, you'll be singing songs, you'll be doing a lot of things, but there will be no accomplishments because you have put the word in the bucket. You can't accomplish without the word. God himself accomplished everything with the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Verse 2. But without it was nothing. Without him was nothing made that was made. Everything was made by the word. We have in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Every accomplishment is based on a word. And if you're going to accomplish anything, you got to have some words in your bucket. In other words, no word, no accomplishment. It's as simple as that. The more you and I disrespect the word of God, we don't give the word of God a place, a high place in our lives, the less accomplishments there will be. And the more we exalt the word of God, the more we value the word of God, the more we give the word of God first place in our lives, the more accomplishments you will see in and around your life. Accomplishments. So if I were you, I will try to hear a word. I will open my Bible and I will say, Lord, speak to me. Show me something. If I were you, I will do that a lot. Because the more he speaks, the more things are accomplished. The more he speaks, the more things are accomplished. Right? Let's end our talk for today. Shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper. Who here wants prosperity? You see, prosperity is connected to the word. These are the main thing every human being is chasing. Accomplishment, prosperity. Accomplishment, prosperity. Accomplishment, prosperity. But they have decided to run away from the word. And that's why no accomplishment, no prosperity. You now understand where we are doing a whole series on the word of God. The whole year. I mean the whole month, we are on the word of God. Because if I can get you in the word, I have bring accomplishment to your life. If I can get you in the word, I have brought prosperity to your life. It's exactly that. The word brings accomplishments. Some of us, you don't even own a brick as I'm talking. One brick. Not to talk of two bricks. You don't have one brick in your house. One brick. Yet you've been working for the past 15 years. You don't have one brick. Because you see, to have a house is an accomplishment. And that accomplishment is not by effort. It's by the word of God. God has to say something. God has to say something. I'm telling you. Are you with me? You want to get married? God has to say something. You want to start a business? God has to say something. Anything you want to do, work with the word. Operate with the word. Let the word be a part of what you are doing. So that when they ask you, who told you to do this? You say, God told me to do this. Or you can go to God and say, but Lord, you told me to do this. What is going on? You asked me to do this. Let him take responsibility for his command for your life. Stand on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited for you because from this month, accomplishments will start happening in your life. From this month, prosperity will become your portion. Because you and I will get in the word. We'll get in the word. We'll get in the word. And I will teach you how to meditate the word of God. I will teach you how to hear from God. I will teach you how to position yourself where God can talk to you. Do you understand? All those are skills that you and I will learn this month. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Oh, come on, somebody celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Celebrate the Lord, hallelujah. I want you wherever you are to lift up both your hands, hallelujah. And your cry is one this afternoon, Lord, give me a fresh love for your word. Lord, rekindle my love for your word. Come on, lift up your voice right now and begin to pray. Begin to pray right now and say, Lord, rekindle my love for your word, oh God. Rekindle my love for your word, oh Jesus. Give me a fresh love. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Give me a fresh love for your word, oh God. Give me a fresh love for your word, oh God. Oh, Father, just like in Isaiah 55 verse 11, the Bible says, your word shall not return to you void, but it shall accomplish that which it was sent, oh God. And Father, I'm praying this afternoon, oh God, that Father, as your word has come, may it not return to you void. Come on, lift up that prayer right now and say, Lord, may your word that has come forth this morning not return to you void, but may it accomplish that which it was sent. Lift up your voice right now and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, oh God, that the word that you have sent through our Father this morning, this afternoon, Father, may it accomplish what you have sent it to accomplish, oh God. Father, let it not pass me by. The Bible says, while men slept, a sower stole what was in the hearts of the people. And Father, we are praying this afternoon that, Lord, may this word that we have received not be stolen from us. Come on, pray that prayer right now and say, Lord, I pray, let your word not be stolen from my heart. Let your word not be stolen from my heart, oh God. Oh, somebody lift up your voice right now and pray. Lift up your voice right now and pray. The Bible says whenever we receive the word, the enemy comes and steals that word so that it does not accomplish that which it was sent. Lift For right now, somebody and pray right now and say, Lord, let this word, oh God, not just pass me by. Let this word, oh God, become a reality in my life. The Bible says, but be not only hearers of the word of God, but be ye doers of the word, so that you do not deceive your own self. Say, Father, give me grace this afternoon, oh God, to not just hear your word, but to become a of your word, to become an applier of your word, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody, you are lifting up your voice right now. You are lifting up your voice right now. We have learned this morning that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Every word that comes from God can change your life. Every word that comes from God can change your life. This afternoon, even if it is one word that has come from God, it can change your life forever. Somebody, lift up your voice right now and say, Lord, let your word not pass me by this afternoon, oh God. Let your word not pass me by this afternoon, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, may I stand like Peter and say, command me to come. If you say I should come, then I will come. And the Bible says, then Peter walked on water based on the command that he received. Somebody lift up your voice right now and say, Lord, everything I do from this moment going forward, I ask, oh God, that may you command me to do them. May you be the one to command me to do them, oh God. I do not want to do things because of my own plans and my own ideas, but may I begin to do things because you have commanded me to do them, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says Peter toiled all night and Jesus came to him and said, throw down your net. And the Bible says, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing, but nevertheless, because you say so, we will throw down our nets. And the Bible says, when they threw down their nets were so full and the boats were so full that the boat started sinking and the net started breaking. That shall be the blessing that you shall receive today. You shall receive a blessing that will sink your boat. You shall receive a blessing that will break the net, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. That's why the Bible says he shall pour out the blessing so much that you shall not have room enough to receive it, because of his word that has come forth in your life. Father, we thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh God. The Bible says in the beginning was the word. Oh Father, cause us to begin everything with you at the center, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your word, oh God. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed, there's somebody here this afternoon. This service was organized specially for you. The Holy Spirit organized this whole service just for you. And this moment is your moment where Jesus wants to come into your heart. If you read the word in the book of John chapter 1, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the word. And Jesus this morning wants to enter into your heart. Jesus this afternoon is looking for people with ready hearts. People who are ready to receive him. He says, I stand at the door of your heart and I am knocking. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart this afternoon. And he says, if you can just open and I will come inside. This moment is for people who say, I want to open my heart to Jesus this afternoon. I want to accept him. I want to receive him as my Lord and my personal Savior. As I count up to three, I want you to lift up your right hand boldly. And I'm going to pray with you wherever you are. One, two, three. Lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand boldly. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see all those hands. Lift it up boldly. I see all those hands that are rising. I see all those hands. God bless you. You can drop your hand. If you're also here, maybe you've already received Jesus in your heart, but maybe you lost your way. Maybe you lost your love, the word. And today you are saying, Lord, I want you to rekindle that love in my heart again. Lord, I want you to revive my heart for the word again. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to be guided by your word again. If there is you this afternoon, I'm also going to count up to three. I also want you to lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. One, two,
3, lift up your right hand. I see your hand. I see your hands. I see all those hands that are rising. Hands are rising in this place. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can drop your hands. Now, if you lifted up your hand for the first or second altar call, I want you to do one more thing for me. I want you to come to the front and I'm going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Church, let's encourage them as they come. Just come to the front and we are going to pray together. And we are going to receive Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Come quickly so that we can pray. Church, let's encourage them. Let's encourage them, church. Let's encourage them as they come. If you lifted up your hand, please come. Please come. We're going to pray together. They are still coming. Let's encourage them. They are still coming. Hallelujah. You can still come if you lifted up your word. Hallelujah. Now lift up both your hands, those in front and those in the congregation, and I want you to repeat this prayer. Okay, our mother is also coming. Let's celebrate her. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. Please lift up both your hands. And I want you to pray this prayer from the bottom of your heart. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe that you died for me. And on the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe that I am forgiven. I am justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I am born again. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray for all those that have chosen to make this decision today, oh God, to come to you and accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. We want to thank you all for those also that are recommitting their lives to you this afternoon, oh God. Father, we pray, may you write their names permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life, oh God. Cause them to be established in your kingdom. Cause them to be rooted in your house, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Cause them to have ability to hear your word, oh God. Cause them to have ability to be guided by your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.